In part five of the 2022 Canes opponent preview series, we're going to preview the North Carolina Tar Heels, our opponent on October 8th at Hard Rock Stadium in our ACC conference opener. Well, let's take a look at North Carolina. They're led by Mac Brown. He's in his 14th year overall at North Carolina, 34th year overall. He's 90-63-1 in Chapel Hill. His overall record, he was 6-7 last year, 3-5 in the conference. Okay, the recruiting has been great. It's been good, and the games have been fun. But when you go 21-17 in the last three seasons, that's not how it was supposed to go up in Chapel Hill, considering all the hype they had coming in. But people forget, it's been lost in a big hurry. North Carolina, in the 25-game run before the guy took over, that would be Mac Brown. It was 5-20. He's in the College Football Hall of Fame. He's won 265 games. He won a national championship in Texas with 9 straight seasons of 10 or more wins in the 2000s. The only thing that has been the problem for Mac all those years, even the first time around in Chapel Hill, was all the talent in the world. And outside of 05, they could not cash in when it counted most. Since taking the Carolina job in 19 after leaving Texas back in 13, he's put together a lot of good talented teams outside of Clemson in the conference. But that number still becomes an issue. Before Mac came back a second time, they were 2-9, 21-17. The bar was set a bit higher. They was able to turn it around. Okay. It's been 13 years since Colt McCoy got knocked out of the BCS title game loss in Pasadena to Bama. Throw in that 13-1 Texas team defeat to the mix. And think about it. Ed Mac is 51-39 in his last 7 years as head coach. Not awful, but for a guy who went 14 straight years with only one season with more than 3 losses in Austin, 7 years in a row with 4 more defeats. Not good. Not good. And even more interesting, his defense came off a terrible year. And his offense is going over a major overhaul. Just when you're supposed to start hitting your stride. Here's the one big difference in this year. There are no major expectations in Chapel Hill. There are none. Last year, it got overhyped. It fizzled, and you lose 17-10 in Blacksburg, and you have double-digit losses to a bad FSU and Georgia Tech teams. That's not good. Top that off, a chance to end on a high note, to crank up a little more venom. You came another bad loss to South Carolina. And all that did was hand Mac his second losing season since 89. Let's be clear, that talent is still there. He's made some changes with the coaching staff. He brought in Gene Chizik as the assistant head coach for defense. The schedule couldn't be more favorable. And let's understand, he's still Mac Brown. And that means they don't have, without Clemson on there, that bar should be ACC title game or bust. Let's look at their offense. Last year, they were 10th overall. They scored 35 points a game, and it had the balance and the pop, and yet it wasn't enough. Listen, we're not going to blame the O for having the D be terrible. But that's what it was. Against FBF teams scoring 34 points or fewer, they were 0-7. Now, granted, without Sam Howell, it's not the same. It may not be as explosive. But the defense should be a lot stronger. And the offense isn't going to be spending much time on one guy. And that guy, of course, was Howell. He was the guy. He was the next level quarterback. He was the all-around guy. He handled the ground game as well as the passing game. Now, granted, when you're 10th best offense in the country, you can't argue with the results. But this year's version, you're going to see a little more spread out with the offense. He's going to rely more on the running game. He'll keep most of the same pop in the passing game. The fight to replace Howell is between Jacoby Criswell, Drake May, and freshman Connor Harrell. Now, Criswell is a smaller version. May is 6'5", but he can run also. And they'll get the fall to figure it out. But no matter who's throwing, you still got Josh Downs, an All-American at wide receiver. And you get three of your top four receivers back. But Downs has to be the guy that gets the ball 100 times again. Now, as for the offensive line, it does enough to crank up the big yards. Okay, that's fine. But on the other hand, it was when it came to pass protection, they were among the worst. As long as it can open those holes for those big runs, it'll do fine. It'll do the job. Yes, there's an overhaul being done. Yes, they get Asim Richards at left tackle back. And there's enough experience among the reserves from last year to step up and be better. Hell, it's hard to be worse, keeping teams out of the backfield. Ty Chandler's gone. Sam Howell, of course, is gone. With them, you lose 24 of your 30 touchdowns on the ground. You get British Brooks back, who averaged 9 yards a carry with 4 touchdowns, and he'll be that lead back in that rotation with junior DJ Jones. Now let's look at their defense. Now let's put it this way. The D could be better. It wasn't the worst, but it wasn't the best either. It allowed 418 yards and 32 points a game. You bring in Chizik. And he was in Texas under back. The talent is there on defense. They have the prospects who could play in the next level and enough experience to be better. But after allowing 6 yards a play for the first time since 14, they can improve significantly. Now, the back end had to make too many plays, but they can also tackle, and they get a ton of them back. Tony Grimes and Storm Duck have talent that can be very, very productive on the next level. And you throw in a safety tandem of Cameron Kelly and Giovanni Biggers, who combined for 117 tackles last year. They were third and fourth on the team in stops, respectively. Now, they have to work on depth. Trey Morrison left for Oklahoma, but the secondary should be okay, and so will the linebacking core. Cedric Gray left the team with 100 tackles, and Power Eccles is coming off a good freshman year. Now, can that Carolina front 3/4 hold up and be more disruptive? It wasn't great against the run, but it's got two outstanding D tackles in Miles Murphy and Ray Vahasek to work around. They're 200-300 pounds. They can get in the backfield. Now, Tamari Fox will not play this year. He's currently ineligible. There's a chance that a ruling by the NCAA gets reversed. But they should be excellent on the edges with Virginia transfer edge rusher Noah Taylor and veterans Cameron Rucker and Chris Collins in the rotation. So that's going to be good there. Let's look at the key to the offense. Stop letting the defensive fronts be in the quarterback and be in the backfield constantly. Listen, as great as Sam Howell was, he had to play too much hero ball and held on to the ball way too long at times, trying to make something big happen, both good and bad. So let's deal with that. The offensive line gave up 49 sacks. Their front five last year allowed 3.77 sacks a game. By comparison, in 18, it gave up fewer than one. The pass protection was awful. The plays behind the line were worse. In other words, hardly a running game. They allowed the most in the ACC, giving up well over 7 per game. And now they have a new starting backfield and almost new starting parts on the line. The key to defense. Simple. Can you make a stop on third down, please? Yes, it starts by not being steamrolled by the better teams. And it continues to generate a pass rush. Okay. Now, the worst part is actually how the D wasn't that bad on third downs over the first part of the season. It held 4 teams to well under 30%. Now they kept roll. Now FSU in that Carolina game kept absolutely doing whatever it wanted. Pittsburgh did the same, and South Carolina converted consistently on third downs in the bowl win. Now all in all, North Carolina allowed 5 teams to convert 50% or more of their third down conversions. The key to their season's got to be Asim Richards. The quarterback situation has to be settled before the season starts. It'd be nice if British Brooks or one of the running backs turned into a killer, but that's not the case if the offensive line doesn't keep teams from living in the backfield. Richard, 6'5", 320 pounds, is going into his third year as a starter, and he's the most experienced. That line has to be better, and Richard has to be a great one. The key transfer is Noah Taylor on the edge. Now, they weren't bad, but they weren't outstanding either. And now you lose Tom and Fox. When Noah Taylor coming in from Virginia, he's an all-around playmaker. He has versatility to be either an outside linebacker or a quick defensive end. He had 169 tackles over 3 years with 12.5 sacks and 28.5 tackles for loss. Now, he's no Fox, but he could be turned loose on that Tar Heel line. The key to the season is very simple. Virginia Tech, October 1st. Now, yes, there are going to be big games on the slate, our game a week later. But to really turn the corner, they've got to beat Virginia Tech. And that's been a problem, a massive problem. And here's about this. The week before they play Notre Dame. And before they come to Hard Rock. Second, they have a VTech problem. The Tar Heels won 56-45 in 2020. After opening the last year with the whole opposite in one of those ugly type of games in Blacksburg, 17-10. They've lost 5 of the last 6 and 7 of the last 9 to them. Opponents had 49 sacks for 277 yards. Carolina just 29 for 192. Carolina fumbled 14 times and lost 5. Their opponents fumbled 12 times and lost 4. Average score per game, Carolina 35.2 to opponents 32.1. Now, what will happen? Let me give you my season preview. Can it win games it's supposed to? That's going to be the question. It was strong enough to beat Virginia, beat Wake, and get to a bowl game. But it stunk out the joint, losing to G-Tech, FSU, and get absolutely waxed by South Carolina. There's a lot of work to do and a lot of parts to fix and not a lot of time to do it. There's no hype this year compared to the past. But if it could win the games it's supposed to win, this could be a nice season. And end up in the ACC championship if everything goes right. Now, let's understand this is not the second best team in the conference or even top 5 to start the season. But let's look at that schedule. Let's look at that schedule. Okay? They don't have Clemson. Let's get that out of the way. But they have Notre Dame and NC State and Chapel Hill. But they get Pitt on a bye week. And Wake Forest isn't that bad. But they come here to Hard Rock October 8th, as I said. Virginia's dangerous, and there's a run of 4 ACC games in five weeks. There isn't a game on the slate Carolina shouldn't be able to win. Now, there will be a misfire, but watch that trip to App State early. The schedule isn't going to get too much more favorable than that. It has to be up to the challenge. When I look at the record, the win total is 7. I think they can get to that. I think maybe 7-5 is reasonable for Carolina in 2022. In part 6 of the opponent preview series, I will preview the Virginia Tech Hokies.